Chapter 181. Drugged. The next day, when Callista woke up, she touched her lips and shot a somewhat displeased glare at Callum. If it wasn't for the fact that they couldn't have sex, she reckoned Callum would have devoured her already. Callum was already awake when Callista sat up. He held her in his arms, his eyebrows arching as he smiled with satisfaction. "Darling, you were really wild last night." "Ugh, can he not act like we have done everything?" Callista pushed him away as she recalled the important matter she had intended to discuss the day before. "By the way, just letting you know, I have to make a trip to Corleone." The smile on Callum's face froze. Then, he raised an eyebrow and chuckled. "You can't leave, remember? Did you forget you have to give me an acupuncture treatment every 3 days? Callista glanced at him, replying, "I haven't forgotten. I'm making this decision because I've figured out a way to extend your life. It's just that you might suffer a bit more." Stunned, Callum realized that Callista had come prepared. "So, you've planned this for a while?" His expression turned incredibly serious. He hadn't expected Callista to have this idea for so long. Callista nodded. "Without test subjects, research can't proceed. Your life was saved by me. No matter how strong your body is, it won't withstand our drug trials. Thus, going to the virus hotspot was an idea I've had for a long time, and now it has become absolutely necessary," she said. "Since you said you've found a way to prolong my life, why are you in such a rush to take risks?" "I don't mind if the research takes a bit longer back home, as long as you're safe," Callum said. As he spoke, he remembered the words he heard yesterday. He added, "You don't have to worry about whether I can make it to that day. As long as I have you, it doesn't matter if it's 5 years, 10 years, or even 20 years. I won't be taken down by K-virus. I will survive." Upon hearing these words, Callista was reminded of her own near-death experience. At that time, despite the researchers' best efforts, they couldn't halt the deterioration of her body. K-virus became increasingly horrifying in its later stages, and she could hardly imagine Callum reduced to a bony state. It was a far cry from the image she held of him in her memory. "You don't need to say anything more. I have already decided to leave for Corleone immediately. You are a patient, so please cooperate." "How am I supposed to cooperate?" "Join her in taking risks." Callum's demeanor instantly became domineering. If it were anything else, he would unconditionally agree, but not this one. This was unacceptable. Drugged, firm and resounding. Callista didn't want to confront him directly. Instead, she asked calmly, "Don't you want to get better soon?" He wanted to, but certainly not under such circumstances. Suddenly, Callista reached out and placed her hand on his waist, closing the distance between them. When their eyes met, Callum felt like a bomb with its fuse held tightly by someone else. His body was tense, yet he could never explode. With a smile, Callista whispered into his ear, "Don't you want to get better soon, so we can be together? You." Callum was suddenly speechless, his chest rising and falling with emotion. He didn't know what to feel or how to look at her. Callista said seriously, "If you want to, then heed my words. I promised to heal you, and I won't go back my word. Most importantly, Callista knew very well that in her past life, Callum had managed to pull through after receiving an antibody injection. Since he had fallen ill trying to save her this time, she was determined to nurse him back to health. Regardless of any future deals or collaborations, she simply didn't want Callum to end up like she did in her previous life. That would have been too unbearable, wouldn't it? Callum still refused, saying, "I will have Bowen lead the team. His qualifications are sufficient." Callista, however, didn't want to continue discussing this topic. "Callum." When he looked over, Callista suddenly stole a kiss and laughed. "Actually, I remember what happened yesterday. After all, the red emerald thumb ring on your hand is quite noticeable. I also remember saying I wanted to marry you. They say a drunk mind speaks a sober heart. Do you think I'm willing to part from you?" Her words were filled with so much information that Callum was stunned. The next moment, he felt a numb sensation at the back of his neck. A needle was inserted there, its tip still trembling slightly. A needle placed here could temporarily paralyze a person, even just a few seconds would suffice. The last image Callum saw was Callista smiling and saying four words: "Remember to miss me." Then, with deep reluctance, he succumbed to the darkness. Callista discarded the handkerchief she was holding. She had used a bit of sedative to knock out Callum. Otherwise, it would be hard to get things done with him conscious. After sounding the alarm, it didn't take long before 7 or 8 people arrived. They were all competent and efficient people. "What happened to Mr. Callum?" Gunnar was the first to notice that something was off. It seemed that Callum wasn't asleep, but rather, he had fallen unconscious. Looking worried, Callista said, "It seems that K-virus has mutated again. To tackle it as soon as possible, I'll take a team to Corlean today. Ryder, can you get in touch with Corlean for us? We're going to need the local government's assistance." Although Ryder found it strange, he knew that Callum had stated that Callista's words were to be treated like his and not to be disobeyed. He immediately went to make the arrangements. "Did Mr. Callum agree to this?" Quintus couldn't help but ask. Given Callum's personality, there was no way he would have agreed to let Callista take such a risk. Chapter 182. The Life-Extending Needle. Callista looked exasperated. "He didn't agree at first, but I spent the entire night persuading him." As she spoke, she hissed lightly, drawing attention to her swollen lips. The others exchanged knowing looks, suddenly understanding how Callista had managed to persuade Callum. After all, what man could resist the requests of the woman he loved? However, Quintus remained skeptical. He couldn't believe that Callum would abandon his principles over a few kisses. Callista added, "However, he's really worried about me. Quintus, can you find 9 more Parker guards to accompany us? Otherwise, he definitely won't be at ease." The task immediately disrupted Quintus' train of thought. He instinctively acknowledged it and turned around to select capable people for the job. With everyone assigned with tasks, most of the people left. Only Sean and Gunnar were left. "Did you sedate Mr. Callum?" Sean stroked his small beard, having detected the scent of the sleeping drug as expected, I can't keep it from you, Callista confessed openly. She turned to Gunnar and asked, have you figured it out too? Gunnar scoffed. He was not as easily fooled as Quintus. Callista rubbed her temples and said, I had no other choice. The longer we delay, the worse it is for us. Once I've made a decision, I have to see it through, even if he tries to stop me. Even if you decide to leave, Mr. Callum will surely come looking for you, Gunnar pointed out coldly. Callista flashed a malicious smile at Gunnar. That's exactly why I'm leaving you behind. Find Silas, then. Spread some rumors at the customs. With Silas around and the country's stringent measures against K-virus, Callum won't be able to leave the country. Seeing that she had thought of everything, Sean couldn't help but ask, what about Mr. Callum's A-Calth? I'll leave that in your hands. Callista nodded at Sean, then turned to Gunnar. Aren't you leaving yet? Gunnar snorted and replied, if it weren't for the fact that you're doing this for Mr. Callum's sake, I wouldn't listen to you at all. After he finished speaking, he hastily left, leaving only Sean behind. What should I do? Sean asked in a hushed tone. It's not complicated, Callista said as she rose to her feet and lay Callum flat. I'll give you a prescription for medicinal bath. It's something I used when I was younger, though I've made some improvements to it. When I'm not here, you'll need to monitor Callum and ensure that he soaks in it for an hour each day. As you do me or the other treatments, you're already familiar with them, so I won't go into detail. Can Ave and keep watch at the door for now? After saying that, he left. Callista swiftly unfolded the carefully wrapped acupuncture kit. Her expression was complex at first but gradually became resolute. Lucky you, she murmured. Then, she began the acupuncture. If anyone had been watching, they might have thought she was performing magic. The needles hovered an inch away from her fingers, yet they could still pierce into a person's skin steadily. It was much like the advertised energy technique. In fact, it could also be considered as a form of energy technique. However, this method of acupuncture, known as the fortune needle, was the pinnacle of skill. It was recorded in ancient texts, but those who could achieve it, other than her, had long passed away. Today, Callista was going to administer the life-extending needle, which would significantly drain her vitality. Although she wasn't going to completely transfer her life energy to Callum, it was still a significant sacrifice to ensure he wouldn't die within the month. Performing acupuncture once a month was the maximum she could do to save him while preserving her own life. You ended up in this state because of me, so I'm saving you. I just hope you won't make me regret today's decision in the future, she muttered. After finishing the acupuncture, Callista could barely stand. She called Sean in and explained the follow-up procedures. Seeing Callista's pale expression, it was clear that she had sacrificed a lot. Touched, Sean said, Ms. Stafford, we've all noticed your dedication to Mr. Callum. I believe if he recovers, he will surely not let you down. Callista sat on the sofa. Smiling wryly, she replied, it's still too early to speak of love and romance when our lives are still uncertain. Sean nodded, Understanding this was an unspoken agreement between Callum and Callista to not involve emotions until everything was settled. Everything was arranged meticulously. By the time Callum woke up, Callista and her team were already on the plane she left. Callum remained very composed, uttering only two words before falling silent. Over the years, everyone had seen Callum lose his temper. Every time he got angry, it was like a volcanic eruption, scorching those around him. But this calmness was unprecedented. However, everyone began to tremble with fear. They feared the silence more than the rage. It seemed this time, they were doomed by the Callista's actions. It was already evening. A light rain began to fall outside, bringing a chill wind in and causing the open window to rattle. Callum suddenly burst into laughter. He glanced outside before looking down at his hands and at the excessively pale skin on the back of them. His smile grew increasingly mocking. "Sean, am lol ready a wreck now?" Taken aback. Sean chose his words carefully and replied in a low voice, "Mr. Callum, you will get better. Moreover, you are the most group meticulously. There is no better Air 17 landing person. Even while ill, you've managed the..." Chapter 183. Lock her up. Callum snorted as he eyed them. "Since I wasn't dismissed, why didn't you listen to me?" Everyone was taken aback by his response. Then, they all knelt on one knee, not daring to utter another word. For the first time, Sean could sense Callum's murderous intent. Though only 24 years old, Callum had already disposed of numerous people. He was generally easygoing, but when his mood turned, a single glance from him was enough to send chills down one's spine. He scanned them with his dark eyes. Then, speaking slowly and deliberately, he asked, "Why don't you answer me? Why did you let my treasure go?" Gunner raised his head. "Mr. Callum, I was the one who let Ms. Stafford go. The others knew nothing about it. Mr. Callum, if you must punish someone, let it be me. I had my suspicions, yet I still let her go," Quintus piped up guiltily. Callum gave a grim laugh that dripped with mockery. It was unclear whether he was laughing at them or himself. A sense of foreboding crept over Sean. "I'm certain we won't be able to escape punishment today. What I'm more afraid of is that we'll all be replaced. After all, if there's one thing the Fairchild family doesn't lack, it's staff." "Sure enough," Callum sneered, "since you disobeyed me." Then, however, a monotonous ringing suddenly pierced the air. Callum's phone was ringing. Whoever it was, that person was unlucky to have chosen to call at such a time. Callum stared at his phone for a while, pressing his thin, pursed lips even tighter together. In the end, he still could not bring himself to reject the call. "Awake already?" he heard Callista's detestable voice on the other end of the line. She sounded cheerful, as though feeling very smug that she had fooled him and slipped away. "That D**ned woman. She's truly unbearable." His silence did not scare her. She said, "Don't punish them. They were all deceived by me. Instead of punishing them, why not wait until I return to punish me? Do you think you can escape?" He could not stop himself from responding, but felt a pang of regret immediately after that. Why on earth did I have to rise to this ruthless woman's bait? She chuckled. Let's get straight to the point, then. I called to explain why I left so suddenly. To be honest, even though I had considered it before yesterday, I hadn't planned on acting so quickly. I've started a new subject at university, so do you know how much it cost me to leave so abruptly? Anger, prompting everyone to swiftly step outside. A reprisal for a wrong should be directed at the perpetrator, so they felt it was only fitting that Callista bore the brunt of his fury. Once everyone had left, Callum could no longer contain his anger and cursed bitterly, "You damn Warnin. Don't even think of fooling me. Do you think a simple phone call will earn my forgiveness? Let me make things clear, I won't let you off the hook. If you know what's good for you, you'll come back right this instant." She held the phone far away from her and only placed it back to her ear when he was done shouting. "I called you out of goodwill to explain things. Aren't you going to hear what I have to say?" "Not a chance," he retorted. "Does she think she can escape punishment with just a simple explanation? Impossible. This time, I'm determined to teach her a lesson. I make her understand that I have the final say. Let's see if she dares to leave me again. She sure has some guts. If you don't, you'll regret it. Are you sure you won't listen?" He snorted. "Unless you come back immediately, I don't want to hear a single word. But the place I'm heading to has no signal towers, and I left in such a hurry that I didn't bring a satellite phone. If you don't hear me out now, you might never get to do so." Frustration surged through Callum, but he managed to snap, "Levi went with you." "There's no way didn't bring a satellite phone," he Callista sighed. "It seems you've no intention of listening to what I have to say. So be it, then. Goodbye." "Wait." His blood was boiling. This infuriating woman. It's bad enough that she ran away, but to think she actually wants to hang up without uttering a single word of apology. Does she think I've no way of getting to Corleone? If that's the case, she's seriously underestimating me. Just wait. Once I get my hands on her, I'll. Although I haven't quite figured out what I'll do, I won't let her off lightly, that's for sure. Chuckling softly, she asked, "What's this? Do you want to listen now?" He merely grunted in response and did not say anything. "If you're not going to talk, I'll hang up, Callista Stafford," he hissed through clenched teeth. He could not help thinking how she was the bane of his existence. She was a woman he loved deeply yet despised with the same intensity. Seeing that he was on the verge of losing his temper, she finally suppressed her laughter and spoke in a serious tone, "I have an idea. Send me a selfie. If I find your expression interesting enough, I'll go back immediately." Before she could finish her sentence, she heard a sudden thud followed by silence on the other end. Did he smash his phone? Laughing, she remarked, "You're quite spirited. It seems that sticking it out for a month won't be an issue. Callista, you're such a jerk." Callum paced back and forth in the room. His phone lay shattered on the floor, making for a pitiful sight. He almost stepped on it several times, and each time he did, he would kick it away in frustration. He was nothing short of livid. D*MNIP. That insufferable woman. I'm going to tie you up.
That's right.
And lock you up.
The thought of seizing her and confining her to his room, forbidding her to go anywhere, strangely filled Callum with a twisted sense of anticipation.
Chapter 184. I cannot win with you.
It was you who forced me.
You despicable person.
Callum began searching for his phone.
We haven't finished our conversation.
I want to see what excuses she's going to make. At that moment, there was a knock on the door.
He swung the door open with a terrifying expression on his face, and the person outside immediately straightened his back while holding a phone in his hands.
Mr. Mr. Callum, Ms. Stafford is on the line.
Callum grabbed the phone, fixing Julian with an icy stare.
How does she have your number?
Julian was on the verge of tears.
This isn't my phone.
And even if it was, I wouldn't dare to have any contact with her privately.
The same thought crossed Callum's mind.
He snorted coldly and slammed the door shut, almost hitting Julian's nose.
Feeling distressed, Julian could not help thinking that it was no wonder Ryder refused to come and shoved him into the line of fire instead.
They're too cruel.
Meanwhile, Callum drew a deep breath before saying into the phone irritably, "What else do you want to say?"
A soft, rustling sound came from the other end of the line.
It seemed that Callista had just turned over.
I wanted to see if you've calmed down.
I'm actually still quite afraid of you getting angry, came her reply.
He sneered.
You say you're afraid of me getting angry?
If you did, you wouldn't dare to act like this.
Her lips curved into a smile.
Then, she quickly changed the subject.
Are you threatening me?
There was a moment's silence as he tightened his grip on the phone.
I'm not.
You are.
Just a moment ago, you didn't even want to hear my voice and smashed your phone, she responded, analyzing the situation logically and systematically.
Finally, she said in a serious tone, I'm absolutely heartbroken right now.
Callum started to feel nervous, his anger subsiding the moment he heard that she was upset.
As a man, I shouldn't be petty with a woman.
Should I apologize to her first to appease her?
But wouldn't it be humiliating to do s when she's the one in the wrong?
You don't even want to sweet talk me anymore.
It seems I've fallen out of favor, she uttered with a sigh. Callista.
He paused for a moment before continuing,
you.
Stop messing around.
I could, but you need to say something nice to me.
Otherwise, I'll get angry and might just storm off and never come back.
Don't joke about something like that.
Well, then, are you going to sweet talk me? She asked.
He stared at her wordlessly.
This infuriating woman.
I just can't win with her.
After glancing around and making sure that no one else was around, he said reluctantly, I'm not angry.
I'm just scared.
I don't want you out of my sight.
Then, his tone grew serious.
Sometimes, I don't even want you to go to class.
She giggled.
Why?
Is it because I'm not scared of you at all that you're particularly attached to me?
He sighed and answered in a helpless voice,
why?
Do I even need to explain?
While I'm alive, I hope the first person I see every day is you.
And if I die, the person I hope to see in my final moments is still you. It made her chuckle softly to hear him utter romantic things so seriously. "The reason I'm in Corleon is so that you can see me every day. I'd rather die than let you risk your life," he said earnestly. "Had I been willing to let her take risks, I wouldn't have given up on getting the antibody injection to go and save her. But what am I to do? I even gave you the thumb ring my grandmother gave me. If you were to die, who else could I possibly marry?" she asked. "You." "You?" Callum's eyes suddenly sparkled. After all this time, it's the first time she has ever mentioned anything about her feelings and given me a response. "What about me? I can't win with you. Why am I forever entangled with you?" Callista asked in frustration. Yet, deep down, she knew the answer. She had long lost the ability to fall for anyone else. However, Callum was different because of her feelings for him that had spanned over 2 decades in her previous life. "How could I simply forget all of that after 20 years of yearning?" Suppressing his excitement, he finally let out a snort and replied, "It's clear that I'm the one who can't win with you. Don't worry, I'll take good care of myself here and go back once a month. You're not allowed to follow me." Her words hit Callum like a bucket of cold water, and he gritted his teeth. "Don't tell me that was why you uttered all those sweet remarks, was it? Do you think that'll make me leave you be over there? I'm going to make a call right now to have someone bring you back. I'm afraid you'll only end up disappointed," she said regretfully. "I have the thumb ring you gave me. They obey you, but they also obey me. Callista. That's all I have to say. Wait patiently for me to return. Remember, nothing comes to those who are disobedient." With that, she ended the call. "Darn it," he muttered while clutching the disconnected phone. He was furious, yet he could not stop a smile from tugging on his lips. Did she mean that she put herself at risk without hesitation just so she could be with me? That D**ned woman. Yet why can't I bring myself to hate her? Thinking about how impossible she was, he swiftly made a phone call. "Prepare the jet. I'm going to Corleon," he instructed before hanging up. "Sure, she can take risks alone, but it has to be under my watchful eye." Suddenly, there was a knock at the door. He furrowed his brows. It must be Dad. Does she genuinely think that getting my father involved can sway Met? That's simply too naive. Chapter 185. Ghost Town. But what he didn't expect was that it was Wanda who came. As soon as Wanda reached the door, she overheard Callum mentioning his plans to go to Corleon. She almost lost her breath. "Callum, open the door. You're going to Corleon? Are you trying to give me a heart attack or what?" Callum's smile froze momentarily, then his teeth gritted in frustration. Kaliat, upon their arrival, Callista and her group were warmly received by the local government. Among them, Bowen stepped forward to represent their party. "Thank you for the assistance you've given our country. The small city is fraught with danger, so I'll dispatch 200 men to accompany you. They're all exceptional soldiers, committed to ensuring your safety." Bowen expressed his gratitude with a smile. "Do you happen to know the current state of affairs in Jerome?" The 10-skinned man who received them let out a sigh. "People are dying every day. Since the first patient was identified in this city, over 1,000 have perished. Around 300 infected with the virus are still alive, but that number is still rising. If you're going in, you must be extremely cautious. I hope you can bring some good news. Bowen hastily assured, "Absolutely, we're here specifically to conquer the virus." The two individuals exchanged a few pleasantries when suddenly, the other party inquired, "There are there, cases of the K virus in Corleone and not just in Girona. May I ask, why are you so determined to go? You should know that it's a rather remote place." Bowen glanced at Callista. Of course, he couldn't reveal that Callista had specifically requested to go to that place. All he said was, "It's close to the rainforest, which might be beneficial to our research." Callista was uninterested in their conversation. She was engrossed in her research. Girona was originally an ordinary small city until one day, a man suddenly died on the street, spewing blood. The city was then invaded by a virus named K-virus, and within a mere 2 months, 1,000 people had perished. This was the destination of their journey, and there was a reason why she had chosen this place. It was necessary to understand it before going there. Levi hovered around Callista, eager to please her. The last time he saw her, his poor attitude had earned him a punishment from Callum. This time, he was determined to do well. "Miss Callista, I've just received news that because Mrs. Fairchild returned in time, Mr. Callum should be preoccupied for now." Callista nodded. Everyone knew that Callum would listen to no one, but Wanda, who suffered from a heart condition. He would at least spare a moment to listen to what she had to say. "For now, none of you are allowed to relay any messages to Callum. Hand over all of your communication devices to me." "Yes, Ms. Callista," Levi replied with utmost respect. It was common knowledge that Callista was Callum's prized treasure. Offending anyone was tolerable, but not her. After Levi left, Callista continued to sit in the car, studying the map. She knew all too well that Wanda wouldn't be Heschel in Eton Callum, but if to could to him for a while that would be beneficial. After all, Callista had important matters to attend to. Ever since Callum revealed to her that it was Sterling who had leaked her information, leading her to be captured by Uriah and nearly lose her life, her hatred for this man had reached its peak. However, there was a reason why she had never made a move, nor allowed Callum to do so. In his previous life, Sterling had also been targeted by the Fairchild family once. The reason was that the Fairchild family had discovered evidence of their illicit arms dealing. They only managed to pull through because he suddenly received a substantial amount of wealth. Money could buy life, and it had once helped him survive a crisis, elevating his status even higher. It had even transformed Quincy into a top socialite. If Quincy was correct about the timing during her bragging, it wouldn't be long before Sterling found that sum of money in Girona, a small border town in Corleone. Outsiders claimed that Sterling had bought a piece of land and stumbled upon a diamond mine. However, Callista speculated that this fortune was likely left behind by the late Uriah. It remained a mystery as to why it took Sterling a whole year to locate it. Now, she was here too, presented with such a great opportunity. Sterling would surely take action against her if he found out. And if she wanted to advance her own career, she was also quite interested in that sum of money. When the time came, they would settle both old scores and new ones together. When she stowed away the map, their conversation also came to an end. A convoy set off toward the remote city of Jerone. On the road, golden sand billowed around them, and the sunlight bearing down felt like a burn on their skin. Although this place was adjacent to Lostaria, it was significantly hotter. By the time they had traveled the great distance to Jerone, it was already the evening of the next day. After the outbreak of the virus in the city, all roads had been subjected to tightened security measures, which meant that no one could drive out. The only option was to leave on foot, and those who could walk were undoubtedly uninfected. This was because once infected, a person would immediately experience a 3-day fever and would not be able to walk out. Even more so, no one would risk their life to carry an infected person. Even if someone was willing, without comprehensive treatment and care, the slightest jostle could end the life of the infected. In short, those who could leave were problem-free. Those who were ill were merely waiting for death. Additionally, there were some who, for various reasons, chose to remain in the city. "Ms. Callista, we're here," Bowen said. Callista lifted her gaze and saw a city of moderate size ahead. Many overturned cars littered the streets, clearly left behind by those who had attempted to flee. From a distance, the city appeared to be a ghost town. But upon closer inspection, it was apparent that a significant number of people had chosen to stay. Chapter 186. Subjects of Study. Outside the city, there were many people lingering about, akin to refugees. It wasn't hard to imagine that they must have been driven out by the healthier individuals. A boy, standing in the corner, was eagerly peering in this direction. Seeing the guards, he didn't dare approach. However, when he spotted Callista, his eyes suddenly lit up. He came running over. "Could you give me something to eat? Typically, it's only women who are known to be soft-hearted," hence he took the risk of stepping out, solely for the purpose of finding something to eat. The soldier, assigned to protect them, immediately pointed his gun at him. "Back off." Seeing that they hadn't killed anyone and had only told him to scram, the boy refused to give up and followed the group. "My mom's starving. Please, I beg you to give her something to eat. Please." People kept sneaking glances in their direction as they passed by, seemingly trying to gauge whether the child would survive or not. If he were to die, this group would be untouchable to them. However, if the child survived, they could approach them for some food. The people sitting by the roadside cast longing glances at the passing trucks. If it hadn't been for the intimidating city goers they had encountered earlier, who had scared them off with their "wouldn't have been so well behaved now" guns, they Callista observed the child who was simultaneously talking and crying, falling down only to get back up and continue following them. Although the soldiers were harsh toward him, they never went so far as to seriously harm him. It was evident they still harbored sympathy for him. Callista paused, and as she did, everyone else followed suit. It was then that the mixed-race military officer realized that Callista was the one calling the shots. "Come here." Callista spoke in the local dialect, waving at the boy. A look of surprise and delight crossed the boy's face. He rushed over quickly. Though he was clearly excited, he was clothes and instead maintained a respectful distance from smart enough not to clutch at Callista's pleas, could you spare some food? My mother is starving. The outskirts of the city were populated by the poor, most of whom were elderly, frail, or disabled. They were unable to leave even if they wanted to and were often subjected to expulsion by the city dwellers. Their lives were marked by profound hardship. People who fell ill in the city were all driven out to the outskirts. Callista asked. The boy nodded. People in the city claimed we'd bring them harm, so they drove us out. Could you spare some food? Callista gently patted his head. If I give you any food now, others will snatch it away later. So, gather the families of all the patients and meet me by the large tree up ahead later. I will distribute food to all of you then. Really? The boy, still quite young, accepted what he heard without a shred of doubt. Yeah. Yay, the boy exclaimed, then turned around to spread the news from house to house. Meanwhile, Bowen was left in confusion, unsure of what Callista was planning. He said hesitantly, "Ms. Callista, we don't know how many people are here. I'm afraid the food we brought might not be enough." Callista chuckled. "Just let the local government handle the purchase. The bill is on Callum. They'll agree to all right." Everyone scoffed internally. If someone was willing to play the fool, why would they possibly refuse? The soldiers' expressions softened when they heard the directives from Callista. If they had the means, they too would have wanted to provide some food for these people, for their situation was truly pitiful. Upon reaching the large tree, Callista ordered for a camp to be set up. She decided not to head into the city just yet. It was easier to gather information outside the city walls. Some of the people who had stayed behind didn't believe the boy's words at first. However, when they saw that Callista and her group hadn't actually entered the city, but had set up camp instead, they excitedly gathered around, worried they might be too late for food. Callista instructed the soldiers to maintain order, then had Bowen prepare some food, acting as if she was about to make a charitable donation. By the time the aroma of oatmeal and pasta filled the air, quite a crowd had already gathered around. As there were soldiers brandishing guns, they didn't dare to cut the line and obediently queued up instead. At that moment, Callista surreptitiously poured a vial of medicine into the oatmeal. She then informed the people who came to collect the food that the oatmeal was meant for the sick, as they were weak and frail, and the pasta was for them. These people were all rather obedient. After receiving their food, they immediately ate the pasta on the spot and took the oatmeal with them. Bowen made a phone call, then approached Callista. "Ms. Callista, I've already contacted the government. They expressed gratitude for our good deeds and also mentioned that they're willing to donate some food as well. In reality, the local government might be criticizing them for their unnecessary actions. Those who had food were all healthy individuals, while those without were either patients or relatives of patients. They were all considered high-risk groups who had long been abandoned. Yet, since Callista had donated food, they couldn't very well not do the same." Callista nodded. "I've already added our improved inhibitors into the oatmeal. Although it might slightly affect the medicine's potency, it shouldn't be a big issue. After eating the oatmeal, the patients should feel you truly are a kind-hearted girl. Bowen said sincerely, assuming that Callista's actions were purely out of compassion. Callista shook her head. They are also our subjects of study. We must maintain a good relationship with them. Later, I plan to visit each one to check on their conditions. I'll have to trouble you with the follow-up work here. Chapter 187. The first patient in the city. How can this be allowed? Just let someone else do it. It's too dangerous for you. 83% it's fine, Callista reassured. She had other intentions for this trip, and she was determined to take care of it personally. The line was moving rather slowly, so Callista seized the opportunity to pose a few questions to the people waiting in line. Do you know the first person who fell ill? Does the first person who fell ill have any friends? After asking several people without any success, she noticed a boy at the end of the line. He looked anxious, as if he was worried that the food might run out before it was his turn. Callista smiled, turning to the person next to her. Derek, get me a bowl of oatmeal and pasta. Sure. Derek was a man of few words and quite a looker. Callista found him agreeable, thus she remembered his name. After getting the food, Callista waved at the boy. Come here. The boy's eyes lit up and he hastily ran over. The others were slightly disgruntled, but upon recognizing it was Callista, they wisely held their tongues. Offending her could potentially mean going hungry. Callista held the food, yet she did not give it to him. What's your name?
Rupert.
My name is Rupert. He stared intently at the bowl for quite some time before finally shifting his gaze toward Callista. Do you know Pierre? Pierre was the person she had just learned about, the first one who fell ill.
I do.
Surprisingly, the boy nodded. Mr. Pierre often gives me food. Callista narrowed her eyes and noticed the sun was nearing its descent. She chuckled and said, how about I walk you home? You're so young. If someone were to snatch your food away, you'd go hungry. She wasn't trying to scare him. A single bowl of pasta for each person was simply not enough for some. Thinking that there was nothing in his home that others might covet, Rupert said hesitantly. You don't mind? My mother has contracted the virus. The underlying message was that it would be dangerous to go over there. It's all right, Callista said with a smile. Lead the way. Upon seeing Callista leave, both Levi and Derek hastily followed her. They traversed a path riddled with potholes and uneven ground. Callista halted in front of a shack, and even before they entered, they were hit with an unpleasant odor. Levi and Derek had already put on their protective masks early on, and Callista had done the same. As soon as they entered, they saw a woman lying on a straw mat. Although she had endured a high fever for 3 days, she seemed to be on her last legs. Mom. The moment he saw her, Rupert was filled with distress. Mom, I brought you something too. The woman's parched lips moved slightly. When she saw Callista, there was not a hint of emotion in her. Everyone knew what fate awaited those who contracted the virus. Eyes, Mom, say something. Are you thirsty? Let me get you some water. Rupert skillfully offered water to the woman. Seeing that she seemed a little more energized, Callista said, have some oatmeal. It might make you feel better. She then asked Derek to feed her. Levi felt a need to do something, so he beckoned to Rupert. You must be hungry too. Come and have some pasta, seeing that his mother was already eating. Rupert began digging in as well. He was extremely hungry. After finishing the food his father had left behind, he had been eating whatever he could find for the past 3 days. His mother had been doing the same. Once they had finished eating, Callista began to explain her intentions. I mean no harm. We are a special support medical team from Chinaka, specifically here to combat the K virus. We have a few questions for you. Of course, in return, we will leave some food for your child. The woman initially showed no reaction. It was only when the topic of food was mentioned that she glanced at her child and spoke in a hoarse voice. Go ahead and ask. Callista nodded. Do you know the first patient in the city? The woman thought it was a strange question but honest nonetheless. I do. His name is Pierre. He used to be my neighbor, a hint of a smile flashed in Callista's eyes. Do you know where he went on the day he fell ill? The woman coughed twice. He went hunting. Sometimes, the men around here crave meat, so they head into the woods to hunt. Callista slightly raised an eyebrow. So, do you know where he was hunting that day? I do. He often went hunting at a secret location with my man. My son knows about it too. Seeing that the head of the family was nowhere in sight for quite a while, Callista asked, "Where is the child's father?" The woman's eyes dimmed. We were driven out by the people in the city. We had no food, no money, and no job. My man had no choice but to hunt in the forest every day, but he never returned after he left 3 days ago. If it had been in the past, she could have asked others to help her search. But now, everyone outside the city was too preoccupied with their own affairs. No one had the time to look for others. I see. Callista lowered her gaze, then suddenly suggested, how about this? We need to visit the woods for our research anyway. Let your son guide us there tomorrow, and perhaps we can help you find the child's father along the way. A glimmer of light finally emerged in the woman's eyes. That will be released on June 2, 2024. Chapter 188. A business proposition. Rupert, wise beyond his years, confidently stated, I know where my dad usually goes. I'll take you there. Callista nodded and took her leave after setting the time. Once outside, she turned to Derek and instructed, Stay here. If anyone comes looking for trouble, chase them away immediately. Got it? Derek didn't utter a single word of nonsense and just stayed right there. Levi was an astute individual. Upon seeing Callista claiming to be visiting to inquire about the patient's conditions, yet asking all sorts of unrelated questions, he deduced that her stated reason for coming to Gibrone was a cover for other motives. You're curious, aren't you? Callista asked him. Twouldn't he dare? Levi was a rather slick individual, and he was in his late 30s or early 40s. His curiosity had all but faded. Callista chuckled. Corleone and Lost Aria share a border. Right? If I'm not mistaken, a year ago after Callum killed Uriah, he must have received a considerable amount of money, correct? Levi nodded. That was Uriah's hideout. he did receive a considerable sum. Callum fell ill because Uriah secretly researched the K virus. So, when you guys seized the supplies, did you find anything related to the K virus there? Levi was momentarily stunned before he shook his head. No, Callista narrowed her eyes and said, "Conjuring a mad cultist who'd risk the lives of 2,000 people to feed a virus, do you think he would merely dabble with the K virus? They've even extracted the influenza virus from the K virus, so, can I suspect that he has more than one hideout, and that Iomuwhere else, he's stashed something related to the K virus?" Levi immediately caught on, his eyes slightly widened at that moment. In a hushed voice, he asked, "Are you suggesting that the first person to fall ill had inadvertently visited the hideout left behind by Uriah and brought the K virus to Jahiran?" Callista nodded. "Yes, I think that's a pretty accurate guess. After all, a wise man always has a plan B. Considering this is a neighboring country of Listerix, it's impossible that Uriah wouldn't have left himself an escape route." Levi looked at the calm Callista in shock. The more he thought about it, the more he felt it could be possible. Before they arrived, everyone had perceived this place as a small city suddenly affected by the virus. But Callista had deduced such terrifying information from just a few clues. If all of this were true, it would make her incredibly formidable. If it were just this bit of information, Callista wouldn't have been so sure. But the moment she thought of how Sterling had made a fortune here in her past life and narrowly escaped a disaster, she felt that her speculation was already very close to the truth. After all, Sterling had collaborated with Uriah in the past, so he must have received some information. However, he wasn't sure about the exact location, which was why he had been searching for a long time. Chapter the A business proposition and Di seizing the opportunity, had arrived here first. She would subtly leak some information to him, D.H.E., luring him over when the time came, with her intentions against his obliviousness. It would be easy for her to present Sterling with a spectacular ending. Moreover, she would be able to amass a substantial fortune, making the journey utterly worthwhile. After careful consideration, Levi cautiously posed his question, "Ms. Callista, should we send word back home? If this is true, it will be safer for us to start preparing early." "No. Things are still uncertain, so let's not say anything about it for now. When the time comes, I'll reach out to them." Levi assumed that she was worried about the Fairchild family stealing her belongings. He reassured her, "Ms. Callista, there's no need to worry. If this matter is indeed true, no one will dare to cover what's yours. Believe it will be more prudent to bring in some additional help." "No need for now." Callista gave a smile. "I have my own plans." The following day, Jared was abruptly roused from his dreams by a phone call. "Callista, do you know what time it is?" His voice was somber, carrying the heavy tone of someone who had just woken up. Callista gave a somewhat apologetic smile. "I'm sorry, I forgot about the time difference. But usually, when I seek you out, it's for something beneficial. If you don't show up, you might regret it." Jared was well aware that Callista wouldn't call unless it was something important. This realization stung a little, making his tone increasingly say, "I wonder what could possibly be so urgent, that yes-ave call me at 3 in the morning." Callista chuckled lightly. "T've got a business proposition for you. You're dealing arms on the sly, just like Sterling. Don't you want to take him out and are the bonds share? Are you still half asleep? Taking out Sterling is easier said than done. There's an opportunity right now. If you're still not fully awake, I'll wait until you are before we discuss it. Hold on, Jared found it odd. Where's Callum? If you have something to do, why not look for him? The Fairchild family has always been legitimate arms dealers. Eliminating Sterling might be beneficial, but the profit isn't significant. However, it's a different story with you. I genuinely want to bring this opportunity to you. The more Jared listened, the more it didn't seem right. Where are you now? Corleone, you're not planning to lure Sterling to Corleone just to settle a personal score and kill him, are you? Let me tell you, Sterling won't fall for it. Jared thought that Callista was being a bit fanciful. You're half right. Of course, I have a way to reel him in. You'll see when you get here. Chapter 189. There is a deer. Callista was about to hang up the phone when Jared's voice rang out. Wait, one last question. Is Callum around? Callista chuckled. No, he's not. All right, I'm on my way now. After hanging up the phone, Callista shook her head with a smile. She felt as if she was having a secret affair. She put away the phone and stepped outside. Her crew was all set and ready to go. These were her people, not a single soldier among them. They were headed for a vast mountainous area, and she wasn't certain they'd find what they were looking for on the first try. So, she was relatively relaxed about it. Without asking any questions, Bowen, under the protection of a group of soldiers, began interviewing each individual infected with the K-virus. With subjects for his study, the progress of his research could quickly advance. The remaining soldiers were assigned to clean up an abandoned hospital, which was slated to become a research station. Under Callista's guidance, everything proceeded in an orderly manner. Meanwhile, Callum, clutching his phone, was in a terribly sour mood. Several days had passed, yet he hadn't received a single phone call. D**MN that woman. She lied about wanting to cure me and be with me. Mr. Callum, are you sure about this? If Mrs. Fairchild were to have a heart attack, Ryder held his phone, clearly conflicted. Callum shot him a glance. All you needed to do is call Air Defense Command. At that moment, Quintus walked in. Mr. Callum, there's movement from the Wilford family. Over the past year, Callum had been periodically causing trouble for the Wilford family. Callista had asked him to hold off for a while, so he had simply kept a close eye on them through his informants. Gradually, Callum discovered something very peculiar. The Wilford family must be in dire need of money, and they probably harbored a deep resentment toward him. Yet, Sterling did not choose to form another marriage alliance, nor did he carry out any form of revenge. Callum didn't believe that the Wilford family had changed their nature. Their actions seemed as if they were searching for something. And so, Callum had people keep a close watch. As soon as they had a clear objective, he would be the first to know. Now, Sterling had finally made a move. What did he do? Callum asked. Quintus replied seriously, he went to Corleone, but we're not sure where specifically. I've received news that Ms. Callista seems to be intentionally luring him to find her. This woman, Callum didn't want to talk about her anymore. She lacks the self-awareness expected of a woman. Sterling harbors a deep, seated hatred toward me, so naturally, he feels the same toward her. Yet, at such a time, she dares to provoke a ticking time bomb all by herself. She absolutely has to be brought back for a proper lesson. I'll set off in the afternoon. But what about Mrs. Fairchild? Callum had been quite vexed by his mother, but not anymore. If she knew Callie was in danger, she would support me too. At that time, Callista had no idea what Callum was up to. They had been following Rupert around this area for quite a while, but they had found nothing. In order to protect themselves from venomous insects and poisonous pollen, they were all bundled up tightly. After 8 hours of travel, they were drenched in sweat. However, Callista only broke a light sweat. During their break for food, Callista gazed at the dense forest in front of them with a thoughtful expression on her face. "Do we keep going?" Levi asked, handing over a bottle of water. Callista glanced at the listless Rupert and shook her head. According to their account, the man left at noon and returned the next day at the same time. Considering the distance and speed of his round trip, he could have only reached this vicinity. Furthermore, he was running a high fever due to the virus infection when he returned, which would have definitely slowed his pace. In other words, if he came this way, he would have certainly not gone any further. "We must have just missed him on our way here. The forest here was so thick. It was understandable to miss something." Levi nodded. "You're right. After we cat, we'll search for another hour. If we find no traces, we'll head back. How does that sound?" "All right." Callista nodded, settling down to start eating. At that moment, the bushes rustled. Someone peered over and immediately exclaimed with joy. "There's a deer!" Low stirred a bit of they had encountered numerous animals, but all were too small. The sight of a deer excitement in them. This was a splendid find, as they could have an extra meal that night. Upon hearing the commotion, Callista was quicker than them to look over. Her sight was sharper too, and she noticed a speck of blood on the deer's body, causing her pupils to slightly constrict. "Grab it. Remember, don't touch the blood on its body." Levi quickly sent two people to chase after it. Moments later, a gunshot echoed in the distance. The two individuals returned, carrying the deer with an air of ease. Callista asked, "You didn't get any of its blood on you, did you?" Both of them shook their heads. No, only then did Callista put on gloves to examine the dead deer. The deer was stained with blood, which could mean two things: it was either the blood of her creature or the deer itself was injured. If it were someone else's, it would be a bit risky. This was because Rupert's father had also entered the forest and disappeared. Assuming he had died here from the K virus, if the deer came into contact with his blood, anyone who unknowingly touched the blood stain would be at risk of infection. Fortunately, the K virus was too potent; animals infected would die immediately. So, the first possibility was not likely, but she chose to err on the side of caution. Chapter 190. We have found something. Turning the creature onto its back, Callista discovered the source of the blood. The deer had been injured, but the wound wasn't deep. It was a crossbow injury. In this area, many of the less fortunate crafted their own crossbows. The weapons were fairly effective mainly because the materials were easy to find. They were sufficient for hunting small animals. Rupert, what do your dad use for hunting?
Callista smiled at the boy. Rupert quickly explained in detail.
Dad uses a crossbow he made himself. Most of the men here use the same. They also set traps. But Dad said, to avoid disputes, he purposely made his arrowheads cross-shaped, not triangular.
Such a good boy.
Callista murmured, looking down at the cross, shaped wound on the deer. How lucky that I stumbled upon this evidence just when I needed it. This deer is proof that the boy's father has been here. And since they're just ordinary people, to have been able to hit such a nimble deer, it must have been distracted. Perhaps it was cating or drinking. Following the shot, the boy's father realized that his crossbow had done little damage to the deer. It could also have been due to his exhaustion at the time, leaving him with insufficient strength and resulting in a shallow wound. If he was tired, it must have been late in the day. He would likely have chosen to descend the mountain, given that his wife and child were waiting for him. However, on his way back, he might have fallen into some kind of trap or stumbled upon something. In this region, there are no large beasts, yet he has been missing for 3 days. As a seasoned hunter, he should be well acquainted with things like traps. The only plausible explanation is that he stumbled upon a mysterious location and, unluckily, got trapped there, or perhaps even died there. After carefully analyzing the situation and feeling confident that nothing had been overlooked, Callista asked, "Rupert, is there any water source nearby?" Rupert pondered for a moment. "Yes, there is a small lake." Callista's eyes lit up. "Take us there. There might be some clues." Rupert nodded, and the group, carrying the deer, headed toward the lake. The elongated lake was quite clean, with beautiful aquatic plants flourishing beneath its surface. Judging from various footprints along the shore, it seemed like a common watering hole for both humans and animals. Rupert's father had likely come here to quench his thirst and happened upon a deer. "Search around this area and see if there are any clues. Be thorough in your search."
"Got it."
Everyone she brought with her knew what she was looking for. They began to search meticulously around every inch of the area. Rupert pouted, tugging at Callista's sleeve. "My dad's going to be all right, isn't he?" His father had been missing for 3 to 4 days. To say he wasn't scared would be a lie, but deep down, he was always clinging to a sliver of hope, praying that nothing unfortunate had happened. Callista didn't want to deceive him. Based on her judgment, if someone disappeared without a trace for 3 to 4 days, especially under these circumstances, the likelihood of them being dead was quite high. Rupert seemed to have guessed her thoughts. He lowered his head, his eyes suddenly brimming with unshed tears. When they were searching for his father Carlier, he had been the most anxious. He had endured an 8 to 9 hour journey without uttering a single word, all with the hope of seeing his father alive. "When Dad left, he told me to take good care of Mom and promised he would bring back meat. But I don't want meat. I want Dad to come back," he cried silently, not daring to let his voice grow louder, as if he feared others would be annoyed and he would lose his worth. Callista listened to his sobs, sighing deeply after a long while. She drew him into her embrace, seemingly uncomfortable with others' proximity, yet she refrained from pushing him away.
"Don't cry.
If something happens to your dad, I'll take you with me." Callista feared that Rupert's mother might not make it through and he would be left behind.
"No. I'm not leaving."
Rupert suddenly pushed Callista, his face filled with fear.
"I need to protect my mom."
Callista didn't blame him. At that moment, a message came from Derek.
"Ms. Callista, we've found something."
Callista swept aside her melancholy emotions and put on a straight face again. She led Rupert and the others as they moved toward the location where Derek had been. This was a dense forest, where a thick layer of leaves had accumulated on the ground. The rotting leaves underneath added a slight musty smell to the air. With no shrubbery around, the area was devoid of small animals, making it even more secluded than other places. On the ground, there was a subtle depression. When Callista arrived, Derek used a stick to clear the area, revealing a cave that sloped downward. "Ms. Callista, there are signs of someone having slipped here.
They must have fallen.
Dad."
Rupert was startled, wanting to move closer, but Levi held him back.
"Two of you stay here.
The rest of you come down with me.
Keep a close eye on the child."
Although Rupert was anxious, he knew that his interference at this moment would only cause chaos. As he watched Callista and the others fully equipped and ready to depart, he suddenly spoke to Callista with urgency.
"Dad's bald.
If you happen to see him, if he's there, I will bring him out."
After she finished speaking, she followed Levi down. The slope was incredibly steep. Given the leak of the K-virus, they each meticulously checked their protective suits hidden beneath their clothing before descending, their gas masks firmly in place.